Welcome back, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. An absolute torrent of shocking news this afternoon. Illegality after illegality blowing through our most closely held constitutional principles. This is the hallmark of the Trump administration, and certainly in evidence in spades this afternoon. Two federal judges ruling against the Trump administration this afternoon. One federal judge saying point blank that the Department of Justice under Donald Trump is acting in bad faith. Point blank saying it. And most shockingly, Stephen Miller this afternoon saying that the White House is looking into suspending habeas corpus. This is critical because, of course, the Supreme Court in the 9-0 decision of about a month and a week or so ago ruled that those being detained for deportation purposes must proceed under habeas corpus to challenge both their detention and their deportation, but that indeed on a 9-0 vote that every single individual is entitled to due process and to seek habeas corpus relief. So the announcement today from the Trump administration that they may seek to suspend habeas corpus is shocking. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Just so happens that I have just the right guest to talk to about this. We were going to talk about fusion voting with Jeff Mandel, founder and lead attorney at Law Forward, but we're going to talk about this because this is what is happening this afternoon. Just a little, I did some Googling, Jeff, while we were in the break. Here are the four times during U.S. history that habeas corpus has been suspended: during the Civil War for 4 years, during Reconstruction. It was suspended not nationwide, but in 9 South Carolina counties in response to Ku Klux Klan violence and terror. It was suspended in 1905 in the Philippines due to an insurrection, and in Hawaii during World War II. Jeff, help us understand, and is this the precursor to a declaration of martial law where our military now starts enforcing the laws against citizens and non-citizens alike?
Well, hopefully not. But, you know, the whole point, as you say, is habeas corpus is foundational to justice. It is what makes what holds the government accountable to individuals. And it says what it really means is it means that the government cannot throw you in jail and hold you without articulating clear charges that a judge understands and says are valid. I would note that of those four examples you just gave, Maggie, two of them really leap out at me: the Philippines and Hawaii, right? Because at the time, those were right. not parts of the United States. Yes. Hawaii didn't become a state until 1959. And one of the things we've heard from this administration is that constitutional rights really only belong to American citizens or to people who they claim are here legally. Those examples themselves, half of the examples show that that's not true, that the right of habeas corpus belongs to anyone who is in a place where the United States government is exercising power and control.
And Jeff, during the Civil War, the most well-known or often recollected time period when habeas corpus was suspended, Congress authorized that. You know, here's Stephen Miller saying this, and like tariffs, right? Like so many things. Do you think we will hear from a single congressional Republican decrying this insanity, or do you think it will be crickets, as it largely has been, as Donald Trump trashed the world's strongest economy, upended, you know, NATO, and has trashed 80 years of the Western alliance? Do you think it's going to be more crickets, Jeff?
I certainly hope not. Although the examples you give don't inspire a whole lot of confidence, I will note that one of the differences between the tariffs and the habeas corpus context is that the tariffs, as I understand it, is that the president gets to do it unless Congress stops him. Here, it affirmatively requires authorization from Congress, and it would be really difficult to imagine. I'd like to believe it would be really difficult to imagine Congress affirmatively voting to allow the president to do this.
Yeah, it's these are dark days. The moment is upon all of us as Americans to in good faith look at what this administration is doing and saying it's going to do, and to respond firstly as Americans, not as Democrats or Republicans, liberals and progressives and conservatives, as MAGA and not MAGA, not as black and white man or woman, but as Americans, and say this is simply not acceptable here. And I started the hour by mentioning the Department of Defense is such an epic poo show right now that they won't let Pete Hegseth, the White House is the they here, won't let Pete Hegseth pick his own chief of staff. They've blocked his appointment of this guy, Ricky Buria, and the White House is going to pick him. We got Kash Patel telling Congress, no, I don't have a budget proposal for you, and I don't know when I'm going to have one. You can go kick rocks. Barely showing up for his intelligence briefings, cavorting around at UFC fights and hockey games and traveling around on jets. This is insanity. Jeff, come back with me next week. We will talk about fusion voting and how system reform is a way to avoid this moment. I'm going to come back with each and every one of you. We'll take some of your phone calls and thoughts, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. I'll also be joined by my colleague in broadcasting, Earl Ingram. We'll get Earl's reactions as well when we come back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.